Amen. Pastor, you want to come preach a little while first before? Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Amen. I hope you know a little bit about that. Amen. The grace of God. I told my wife, we came here and seen a full parking lot. I said, it's good to see someone wanted to get into deep water tonight. Amen. Get out into shallow water and get into deep. That don't mean I'm going to preach deep. This means you have a desire to get out of shallow water and get in on something good. Amen. It's good to be at church. Amen. Someone said there was a football game tonight. I don't know. We're not too concerned about that, at least for the next little while. Amen. Amen. Me and two of you others. Amen. That being said, I'm going to start with an illustration. I'll go right into the text. You can open up to Genesis chapter number 22. Speaking of football, most of my experience with football is backyard ball. Y'all familiar with that? Backyard ball, just, you know, not a whole lot of rules. Just try to get a touchdown and, yeah. That's the only kind I played till I got into 10th grade, and I had the idea that I wanted to play school ball. And so I told my dad, I said, I'd like to go play for the high school. And so he dropped me off. I think it was the first day of practice. They had all been there spring, summer, you know, working out, conditioning. And I show up on the first day, they're handing out the pads. I'm probably 135 pounds soaking wet. And we're out there, and so I'm, you know, all I know is backyard ball. I didn't know how to put the pads in the, you know, in the pants and stuff like that. And so I'm out there having, you know, a good time. And so we began to practice, and often what they would do is they would take the JV, who I was on junior varsity team, and we would scrimmage against the varsity. And there's guys out there that, I mean, these guys were bench pressing 300-400 pounds in high school, okay? I'd lifted weights maybe one time in my life, all right? And so I remember distinctly one practice, I'm on like the scout team defense, the varsity offense is running, and the quarterback, he scrambles, and he's up the sideline, he's running for a touchdown. And so the only reason why I got on the field is because I just knew how to hustle, right? Do what you're told, put forth effort, hustle. And so I didn't hear the whistle blow, and so I'm running just as fast as I can to try to catch him up the sideline. He's a lot faster than I am, but I mean, I am getting it. And you know how you are when you run as fast as you can. I mean, you're not crouched down. You're not expecting. I'm running straight up as fast as I can. And then just out of nowhere, boom, I see this big number 19, like right here. I don't know how he got right here so fast, but I'm telling you, it was a full-on decleater. And all I could hear was everybody say, oh, you know how they make that noise. When there's a big hit, that's all I could hear. I'm laying on my back, and after I lay there for just a minute, I'm just like, what am I, can I move? Am I paralyzed? And I was colorblind. I got up, our jerseys were blue, but when I got up, they were green. And so after a little bit of time, that kind of wore off a little bit. It, you know, it was a blindside block. That's what happened to me. I got blindsided. Now, I think that's illegal now. You know, it's not what it used to be, but back when I was playing, it was perfectly legal. It was a great hit. I got blindsided. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit with you tonight. Sometimes in life, can I tell you, you're going to get blindsided by some things? Some things are going to come your way that you never seen coming, and you're going to be looking around like, what in the world is going on? How did I get here? Laying on your back, confused, maybe I don't understand what's going on. And so some of these things that come blindsided, some of them are a little trivial. Us that are married, spouses are great at blindsiding the other spouse, right? You make plans, and you don't tell your spouse about those plans until like the day of. Oh, did I tell you we're supposed to be going here, right? Am I the only one that does that? I know I'm not the only one that does that. Spouses are really, if you're married, you just have that trait. You're good at it. You're good at springing surprises and blindsiding the person that you have vowed your eternal love to, right? It happens. Not only that, but, you know, I thought about this. Some of you, you walked into church this morning and you seen these signs that say offering, and you don't know what to do. You were blindsided by these new offering plates. You've never seen anything like this before in your life, right? Aren't they nice? Amen. The unexpected, when I worked at Virginia Linen, call-outs, right? You work a job, and when people called out where I worked, it affected me, like, drastically. And so I would be laying in the bed. They opened the gate at 5 o'clock, and so when my phone rang at 4 o'clock or I got that text message, I mean, I was blind. No matter how many times it happened, I still was blindsided. You're driving down the road in your car, and you hear that noise, and you know it's not good. And you're like, now what am I going to do, right? You get blindsided by life. Happened to us just this summer. I think Pastor knows a little bit about that experience. Blindsided, right? And so, a double blindside. Some of it's trivial. Some of it's petty, you would say. But can I say, some of it's painful. There's some things that happen in life that are no laughing matter. The betrayal, maybe, of someone that you love. Maybe someone that you've poured your life into. Someone that you have loved and you have sacrificed for. You have unconditionally given yourself to that person, and then unexpectedly they have betrayed that love, and you find out, and it just absolutely changes your life. Or maybe in the situation of a child, one of the parents comes in and says, we're going to be moving out and dad's not coming with us. We're going to be moving out and mom's not coming with us. Or dad's going to be moving out and he's not going to be living. Just, I'm talking about unexpected blindside events that happen in life and we don't see them coming. How do we respond? Now, the one I want to talk about tonight is not a petty blindside, not a painful blindside, but some of them are perplexing. Sometimes the blindside is confusing because, as we're going to see in our text, it seems like God's contradicting His Word. We have God's Word on a matter, and then things happen, and they don't really line up. For instance, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You believe that? Amen. Aren't there some times in life, you just be honest, you look around and you say, God, I don't feel the refuge. I feel the wind. I feel the rain. I feel the storm. We know it's true. We know God's Word's true. He said He would be there, but we look around and, man, it don't feel like it. I thought about the Apostle Paul. You read about his experiences in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, all that he went through. I wonder if maybe he wasn't sitting on a seaside on the shore maybe somewhere after that shipwreck. Maybe he's got his scroll and he's reading the Old Testament. He comes across Psalm 37, verse number 25, where David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And Paul reads that and he says, but I'm starving. See, there's things that happen in life sometimes that blindside us. And some of them, they confuse us. We don't understand because it seems like, God, what are you doing? This doesn't match your character. This doesn't match what you've revealed in your Word. I don't understand what's going on. Can I tell you, the man in Genesis chapter 22 went through the same exact thing. Here's Abraham, the friend of God, the father of the faithful. Notice, if you will, the Bible says, Genesis chapter number 22, this man gets blindsided, and let me tell you, his response is one of the most impressive, powerful things I think that I've read in the Bible. Now listen, all of it's powerful, but I don't think that's an overstatement. Look at what the Bible says, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there means to test, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, so far so good, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Blindsided. What? My son? Yeah. That one, Isaac, the one that you love. God said, I want you to take him to the land of Moriah, take him to the mountain, and offer him for a burnt offering. Abraham's in a difficult spot. Now, there's a couple reasons why he's in a difficult spot. Number one is Abraham's in the dark here. He has no idea this is a test from God. God didn't tell Abraham that it was a test. He told us it was a test. We kind of have the reader's advantage because the Bible tells us there in verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That's not something he sounded out and announced to Abraham. Hey, Abraham, don't worry. Really, this is just a test. I'm going to see if you pass it or not. Abraham's totally in the dark. All he knows is God just told me to take my son to the mountain and offer him for a burnt offering. And so it's difficult because Abraham has no idea that this is just a test. But not only that, it's difficult because this is Abraham's special son. Those of us in Sunday school, we've been studying the book of Genesis of the life of Abraham, and we know, man, this thing with Abraham and that promised seed, it's an ongoing idea, it's an ongoing ordeal. God makes the promise way back in chapter 12, and he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to give you a land. And he makes him all these extensive promises. And so when Abraham first leaves, he takes Lot with him. And maybe in Abraham's mind, he's thinking, well, you know, I don't have any children. Sarah's barren. Maybe it's going to be Lot. And then Lot kind of fades out of the picture. And then in chapter 15, he tells God, he says, God, I don't understand. How am I going to know your promise is going to come true, because all I have to be mine heir is this Eliezer in my house. And God says, no, it's not going to be Eliezer. It's going to be one of your sons, Abraham. So Eliezer is out. And then you know the predicament with Ishmael. Okay, God never said it had to be Sarah's son, just my son. And so they use Hagar, the handmaid there, the servant, and Abraham raises up seed to Hagar, and Ishmael's born. And God says, no, Abraham, it's not going to be Ishmael. Abraham, it's going to be between you and Sarah. And so finally, you get to chapter 1 in the life of Abraham, and Isaac is born. Isaac comes on the scene just like God said he was, and you would think that that would be the end of the story. God has fulfilled his word, his promises came true, and they lived happily ever after. Next chapter, God says, okay, Abraham, I want you to take that son that you waited on so long, take him to the mountain, offer him for a burnt offering. Man, you want to talk about a blind side. So Abraham's not only in the dark, not only is this a special son, all through this text, now notice if you will, verse number 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, don't miss this, whom thou, what? What's the next word? Lovest. Take that son, Abraham, that you love. First mention of any form of the word love in the Bible is right here. Now, obviously, there's love before this, but this is the first time God mentions it. There's grace before that. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. There's mercy in the Bible. God showed mercy to Lot in Genesis chapter number 19, but this is the first time we see love, and this love is between Abraham, a father, and that special son, Isaac. And God says, now, Abraham, I want to know, do you love me more than you love Isaac? Would you take him up on the mountain and offer him for a burnt offering? You're talking about a fiery trial. All through this text, you see references of Abraham, the father, and his son, Isaac, and over, his son, his son, his son. God's trying to emphasize this is a special relationship. Notice, if you will, verse number 7. The language here. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. I mean, you feel the warmth there. My father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine that? Here's Abraham. He's taking his son up the mountain, and Isaac starts looking around. He says, Dad, I see the fire, I see the wood, but ain't something missing here? Where's the lamb? That's tough times right there. Abraham's in a difficult spot. Can I tell you, sometimes we're going to find ourselves in a difficult spot? I don't think God's going to tell you to take one of your sons. You're okay, Adam. All right. I don't think God's done this since Genesis 22. But can I tell you, God might allow something to come in your life that blindsides you, just like he did with Abraham. And you're going to be wondering, what in the world, God? How did I get here? How did this happen? God, this is unlike anything that I've ever seen or heard before. I've never been through something like this. Kind of like John chapter number 11. The Bible tells us that Jesus he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they came on the scene, and he got word that Lazarus was sick. And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, the Bible says that he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know, now Jesus loved him. He loved him. But he stayed there for 2 days, and when he finally showed up into town, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. I'm sure Martha, well, you know about the story, they're wondering, what? They didn't understand. God, how can you love us and yet act like you don't? That's what they thought. And so things are going to happen like that. Sometimes things are going to happen and we're going to wonder, does this happen to somebody that God loves? Can I tell you? Sure it does. It happens all the time. You go through storms, you go through valleys, and I'm not talking about just storms and valleys. I'm talking about the ones that just come out of nowhere. That unexpected phone call that changes your world, right? Things can happen like that. And so Abraham's in a tough spot. But not only that, the second thing I want you to see is his obedience. Can I tell you, it's remarkable. Notice, if you will, the next thing that Abraham does, right after God tells him that, verse number 2, he tells him to take his son, offer him for a burnt offering. Notice verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Listen, I've been trying to put myself in this story all week. He didn't take some time and fast. He didn't ask God, are you sure? There's no struggle. God gives him this command. He gets up the next day, and not just the next day, early in the morning. He's eager to obey God. And the Bible says he gets up, rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. More on that later. But you know what is interesting to me is God really doesn't give us any insight into what's going on in Abraham's heart here, in his emotional being. All we have recorded in God's word is Abraham is obeying what God told him to do. It's pretty remarkable. And then after the piercing question by Isaac in verse number 7, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the lamb? Abraham just answers, verse number 8, look at it. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told them. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I mean, just the Holy Spirit's just given us all these actions that Abraham's doing. God's given him, he's given him this test, and it's hit him just unexpectedly. And Abraham, the Bible's just recording, he's just consistently obeying God. There's no frustration, there's no complaining, there's no pouting. He's just obeying God. Isn't that pretty remarkable? I think Abraham's going to pass the test. We talked about passing the test this morning. Can I tell you, Abraham passed this one? He passed this test, and there's a few indicators that he did. Now, one is just we've seen his obedience. The next one is, well, God said that he did. Look, if we will, let's pick up verse number 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Look at this. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham's passed the test because God said that he did. Notice, if you will, a couple other interesting things. Verse number 12 mentions, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. There's a couple of things that I want to show you here that I think point out that Abraham passed this test. Skip back, if you will, to verse number 2. You remember how God referred to Isaac in verse number 2? And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, next phrase, whom thou lovest. That's before kind of the test. He said, I want you to take that son that you love. And then after the test, God omits the phrase, whom thou lovest. And it's not that Abraham didn't love Isaac anymore. It's that the Holy Ghost wants to impress upon us. You believe God wrote this book? And so God wanted us to know, you know what? Abraham still loves his son, but he loves me more. And so when you get down to verse number 12, it's, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, and he omitted whom thou lovest from me. I think he passed the test. Amen. And then you see something else. Notice, if you will, verse number 6. Abraham and Isaac, they're on this journey, and Abraham took the wood, verse number 6, of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. And notice this next phrase, and they went both of them together. Abraham and Isaac, father and son, going up to worship. I got to say, Isaac was probably, he probably wanted to ask God, Dad, are we going to a different church this morning? We must be going to one of them charismatic churches, Dad. You got the fire and... verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Notice this, so they went both of them together. Same phrase that ends verse number 6, ends verse number 8. So they went both of them together. Now the interesting thing, and I'm not going to get into typology tonight, I want to keep this very practical. There's a lot of types and a lot of different ways you can go with this text. But after this sacrificial intent of Abraham on Mount Moriah, he raises the knife to slay his son. I believe he had every intention to do what God told him to do. The voice from heaven cries out, Abraham, and Abraham doesn't slay his son. Looks back, the ram's call. But you know that the Bible never mentions Isaac coming down off that mountain. It's almost as if Isaac disappears from the scene. Notice, if you will, verse number 19. So Abraham, here they are coming down the mountain after the scene. Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together. Same phrase as in verse number 6 and verse number 8, but there's no Isaac here. Now it's just Abraham and the young men that went with him and Isaac initially. Now it's just Abraham coming down. Isaac is seemingly removed from the picture. Now we know that God didn't rapture Isaac into heaven. Isaac's still alive. But God, the Holy Spirit, when he wrote his word, purposefully left Isaac out of the picture as if to show us Abraham passed the test. That son that he loved God more. Amen. Took Isaac out. Can I tell you, this was the last encounter that Abraham and Isaac ever had together. Isaac's mentioned, he's not mentioned in chapter 23, his mother dies. Now, he is mentioned in chapter 24 because he gets a bride. Abraham's mentioned, but Abraham and Isaac are never mentioned again in their lifetime in the Word of God. It's never recorded they had another encounter after this. And I think it's God trying to press home to our heart, Abraham passed the test. When I hit Abraham blindsided out of nowhere with this test, he passed it. And then the next time you see both of them in the same scene, Isaac's at the graveside of Abraham in chapter number 25. And so the natural question that I had to ask myself is, how? I'm Abraham. You're in Abraham's shoes. How? How do you have the faith, the courage, the boldness to obey, to do what he did? And there's a hint, there's a truth that's woven all through this chapter, and it's hinted at in verse number 5. So go there with me in the text of verse number 5. How do you get hit blindsided like this? And there's no doubt questions going on in Abraham's mind. How do you carry this out? Verse number 5. The Bible says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Isn't that interesting? Abraham said, we're going to be back. He said, we're going to go worship, and we're coming back. The book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham did this by faith. When he was tried, he offered up his son. And the Bible tells us that there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 19, that Abraham accounted, he believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. Yeah. That's what Abraham believed. Amen. He believed, you know what? God's got this. He promised me my son, and if he wants me to stick a knife in his chest and offer him for a burnt offering, he's just going to raise him from the dead. He had already quickened Sarah's dead womb in chapter 21. Abraham done been too far down the road for somebody to tell him not to trust God. Amen. There's a reason why he didn't have this test in chapter number 14 or 15 or 16. He's been down the road a little bit now, and he knows, hey, when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so he said, you know what? We're going to go worship, and God's going to raise my son from the dead, and we're coming back down the mountain. Amen. Here's what's interesting. That's not what God did. Isaac didn't die, and God didn't raise him from the dead. He could have. Right. Sure, he could have. Yeah. But the thing about Abraham that's impressive is, see, he had faith, but he didn't even know how God was going to work it out. He just knew he was going to. Can I tell you, you don't have to have God figured out to trust him.
Amen. Amen.
And the lesson that Abraham, that here's what he knew, and here's what you and I need to know tonight. When I don't understand, I can trust.
Amen.
When I don't even understand the situation, why I'm here or why this happened, I can trust God. When I don't understand how God's going to figure it out, how God's going to work it out, when I don't understand how it's going to all play out, I can still trust.
Amen. Amen.
Here's what Abraham told him. Isaac asked that question in verse number 7. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, did Abraham have his mind forward to Christ in the cross? I don't know. Could have. God provided a ram. Verse number 14, I believe. But here's what Abraham knew. I don't know exactly how God's going to do it. I just know God's going to provide. The word provide literally means to see before. Kind of like the word providence comes from the same root. Pro, before, video, to see. And so Abraham's saying, you know what I understand? When I can't see, I know God can see.
Amen. Amen.
When I can't see a way out, or when I can't see and understand, when things are dark and things are cloudy, I know there's a God in heaven. He's going to see to it that my needs are met. And so when Isaac's asking him these questions, Daddy, here's what I see. I see the fire. Daddy, I see the wood. But Daddy, I don't see the lamb. Abraham said, oh, I can see. And here's what I can see. I can see that God can see my need, and he can meet it. Because he said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's the thread that's woven all through this chapter. God will provide. God sees. God knows. If you back up, and you see in verse number 2, into the land of Moriah. One of the definitions of Moriah is, it shall be seen. And then you get to verse number 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and what did he do? He saw the place afar off. And then you skip and you see, let's go to verse 13. Abraham, look what he did. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
What God did. I mean, you talk about a fiery trial. You talk about something unexpected. Abraham trusted God, and God worked it all out. And Abraham knew he was going to. And then look at verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide.
Amen.
Look at this. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. So all throughout Israel's history, God gave Israel the book of Genesis, the book of that. He gave them the books of the law to be an encouragement, to be a help to them. And so all through their lives, they could look at this story and they could say, you know what? Man, God did it. God provided for Abraham. When Abraham was hit unexpectedly by that trial from God, God provided. And the Bible says there, he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now, Mount Moriah is where Solomon's temple was built. They seen some provision in that temple too, didn't they? As those sacrifices were being brought, God was trying to show his people, I'll provide for your need. Whatever need you have, I'll meet it. So what do we learn tonight? When I don't understand, I can trust.
Amen.
I'm going to get hit, blindsided. Hopefully by no more football people. But when I don't understand what happened, when I don't understand why it happened, when I don't understand how God's going to work it out, I can still trust that he's going to. And so what do you need tonight? You say, what's God going to provide? Well, he's going to provide whatever you need. That's what he's going to provide. And you need to trust that God's going to provide. What do you need tonight? You need some grace? You need some wisdom? God will provide it. You need some strength? Are you tired? Are you weary and well-doing? God's got some help. God will provide it. Maybe you're here and you need some forgiveness. Can I tell you, God provided himself a lamb on Mount Calvary over 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And the greatest demonstration of God's provision this world's ever seen, God said, I will provide. I'm thankful God will provide.
Amen.
Life's going to hit you blindsided. Probably already has. If you've got some age on you. If not, listen, I don't wish it on you. I've been hit blindsided a few times. But can I tell you, God's been faithful. And let's remember tonight that when we don't understand, we can trust. Father, thank you for this truth in your word. This illustration, Lord, of your provision. Thank you for how you provided for Abraham. Thank you, Lord, for how you will provide for us. And God, I pray that whatever the need of the hour in the hearts of your people is tonight, I pray that they would find their need met in you. Help us, Lord, that when we don't understand, help us to know that we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, stand to your feet.